Morning, everybody. Morning, all you beautiful Zoom people. A little bit jealous because you're warm and I'm not. Okay, so I want you to know that Chuck and I did not talk before this, apart from he asked me, invited me to share, nor did Scott and I. The verse I want to bring to us today is Hosea 6:1-3. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. So that's what the Lord's had on my heart for the last 10 days. And when we came on Monday night for prayer and that came forth again, the Lord just started really pressing into me this incredible promise and this revelation. And then on Thursday, Chuck sends out an email and says, did I have something to bring to the body? Well, yes, I had something to bring to the body because it's what God wants to speak to us all this morning. And the invitation to us is to keep coming back to him. He's extending an urgent invitation. And why is that? Well, the basic message is because of his love. He loves us so much. He doesn't want any of us to be torn away by the circumstances of our lives that we find ourselves in right now. It's so important for us to hear the message that we are God's sheep, his precious sheep. And Jesus is our shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And he watches over us with very careful eyes. He protects us with powerful arms. And he tends to each and every one of us with an open heart, a heart that is totally for us, not against us. Our good shepherd wants us to know that he is very brave. He is brave to confront and to beat back every single enemy that wants to come against us. Enemies that have names like death, fear, sickness, poverty, famine, persecution, and of course, plague. And that is not an exhaustive list, but that is the things that God put on my heart this week, that he is very actively working against for us. So he's working against the enemy for us on our behalf. You know, we can come with confidence because Jesus demonstrated to us that he is the victorious one. He is the one who overcomes death and fear and famine and sword and plague. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, by his power, God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, and he will raise us also. Hallelujah, Jesus. And the other verse, all these verses that I'm sharing with you today, these are what the Lord's been putting on my heart day after day in the last 10 days. So another one is one of my all-time favorites, Jeremiah 31:3, where the Lord tells us that I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. That is such a powerful, such a wonderful, such a precious promise. And I looked up everlasting, and these are some of the synonyms for everlasting: undying, eternal, perpetual, enduring, boundless, infinite, constant, continual, unremitting, unrelenting, unbroken, unabating, incessant, ceaseless. And there's more synonyms if you want to look those up. And this is the love that every time we see a failure or a barrier or an enemy in our way, this is the love that we can return to. Every time we see a failure, every time we feel like we've let God down or let people down, loved ones down, we can return to the Lord. Every time our fears overwhelm us, we can return to the Lord. Every time we come under the power of lies or deception, we can return to the Lord. Every time we experience doubt or loss of faith, perhaps, maybe we come under, maybe our trust gets shaken in these days, we can return to the Lord. And the Lord's love for us is not at all in any way, shape, or form conditional. In fact, we know that he loved us when we were in the very depth of our sin and our shame and our stuff, because it says in Romans 5:8 that Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly, or while we were still sinners. Praise you, Jesus. So if he could love us so much when we were in that filth and that pit of sin, of course we know that he loves us now, because we're part of his flock and we belong to him. We are known by him by name. So we recognize, we all know, we're in days when the darkness is getting darker. But the truth and the love of the kingdom of God still shines. And that truth and light and love actually defeats the darkness. And for everyone who's felt themselves getting sucked in or sucked towards those dark places, remember that invitation, God's invitation, return to me. Turn your minds, turn your heart, turn your attitude toward our loving Heavenly Father. Confess before him. He already knows, but it's always good to confess anyway. Confess before him whatever the struggle is, and watch as the Good Shepherd comes running and leaping and bounding with joy to embrace you in his everlasting arms of love. Psalm 143 verse 8 says, let this morning bring me word, O Lord, of your unfailing love. For we have put our trust in you. Show us the way that we should go, for unto you we entrust our lives. Jesus, that's our prayer this morning, that we would bring word of your truth, your love, your grace, your passion for each and every one of us, that you know us by name. And we know we can put all our hope and trust in you, Jesus. Because you promise it, the whole of Scripture is your love letter to us, your people. And as I was praying this week, and at different points in this sharing, I had some words for people. Now, I thought some of you were going to be here, but I think it's actually turned out that you're all on Zoom. So I'm just going to deliver these and see what the Holy Spirit, I pray that he will bless you. So one of the words I have is for Annalie, who I believe is there. Annalie, the Lord says that I have loved and do love you with an everlasting love. In fact, the everlasting love that I've been sharing about. The Lord says, I have put a rich deposit in you, a deposit of the Spirit and of the Word. Don't despise the days of your youth, and don't be fearful of others who seem older than you. For God says, my time is not measured like your time or age. I am going to open doors before you and invite you. I invite you to walk through those doors and into adventures, kingdom adventures with me. Hold firmly to the deposit of my Spirit within and fear not. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that Linda and Mitch are watching this morning. I think I saw your names earlier. The Lord's really impressed upon me to tell you this. He says, I see you. I know you. I am with you. I am with you in your going out and in your coming in. I have seen your many acts of love for my children. I have seen your loving acts of service for my kingdom and my purposes, and my heart is gladdened and blessed by your quiet and constant faithfulness. I want you to know that my heart is blessed. Children, rest in me, drink deeply at my well of favor, and abound in my everlasting, unfailing love. There's that word again, everlasting. And Terry is not here, but I believe Terry's online as well. Terry, the Lord says, I've seen your heart and heard your cries for those who are round about you. Be assured that I do hear every prayer. I know every heart that you bring before me. I am moving. I am doing new things in each life. And I will astound you with how I answer your prayers. Look to be surprised. Meanwhile, keep pressing close to me and trusting me. Find your resting place in my unfailing arms of love. You can see there's a pattern here about the unfailing arms of love. And maybe God didn't give you a word with a name on it this morning, but I pray that you will take that verse of the fact that God loves each and every one of us by name with an everlasting love. Each of us will go home with that deep, 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 deep. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Wasn't that like a waterfall? Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Judith. I just want to read one scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:3, and it says that we should earnestly desire that we might prophesy, because the one that prophesies, it says, speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. And another translation says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So be encouraged. Nelson.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon. I don't know where we're at yet. Can't tell. Can't see the sun here, but praise the Lord, we can see the Son of God. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've got your eyes fixed on him, but if you haven't, you need to, okay? In case you're one here that was like me 64 years ago and didn't know Jesus, I was going into ministry. I was going to go and serve God in the ministry, but I didn't know God. And it wasn't until after I was in pre-theological college, I met a man who said, do you know God? And I swore at him. I said, pardon me for the children's sake, who the hell is God? Because that's a word I used as a normal thing. And he said, oh, you got to know God to be in the ministry. And I said, what's the ministry? I didn't even know what the ministry was. I know I was at McGill pre-theological college my first year. And that's the way it was in 1955. But I wanted you just to know this morning, in case you're in my voice, hearing my voice, if you don't know Jesus, come to him and give your heart to him. You know what I mean? You can trust him. You can't trust your own heart, but you can trust with your heart the Lord Jesus. That's what he says to do. You know, trust him. And that young man there, what's your name?
Rachel.
No. Is that Rachel okay. I have a word the Lord says, be prepared for the mighty Spirit of God to come upon you and increase your joy in the Lord. You're just learning to know him and trust in him and walk with him. And he's going to anoint you with his power and with his power of his Spirit and the power of his might. Amen. So be blessed, Rachel. Good. And sorry, I just wanted to get that out there. the Lord gave me that while I was sitting there. But nevertheless, This morning as we were driving in, the Lord was, we were singing the song, Glorious Things of You Are Spoken, Your City of Zion. And it made us think of Psalm 48, where great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And that's been my joy for 64 years. Not every day, but more and more as I've increased in the Lord. And in the later years, in the younger years I did too, but then you sort of drift away and your heart kind of wanders away. But praise the Lord, you can return, as we've heard this morning. You can turn back and come back to Him. There's nothing wrong. As an old prophet used to come and preach for us in Ottawa, Bernice Smith. And, you know, he used to say, if you get off the track, Nelson, what do? You get back on the track. You don't wait and sit around and argue with yourself and argue with all the things that I should have done or shouldn't have done. If you're off the track and you see that, that's the moment you should be encouraged to step and get back on the track. But anyway, I was more excited about the Zephaniah, where the Lord... I get this scripture here. with the wind blowing, it's hard. Can I put that here, or is that allowed, or what? Yeah, I'll use this to understand. How's that? Might as well stand up and get rid of the chair. So the verse I was reading was Zephaniah 3, and it says, the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you. He will. Okay? He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in His love, and He will joy over you with singing. And wow, isn't that something? God, God's talking here and saying, I'm going to sing to you too. Did you know that? God has songs and He can sing. Hallelujah. Where do you think we got it from? We're an image of Him. He made us. He made us with a heart that can give praise and sing, and like His Son did. His Son came in. You know, Jesus praised the Father constantly. The world even at His birth announced the birth of the Lord was the mighty angels. The words of praise, Marvin probably could help me with all the Hebrew. I don't know, Hebrew, Greek, or whatever. But, you know, it's a marvelous thing. It's like that wonderful verse in Psalm 63, thy loving kindness is better than life. And I will praise, I will shout back. I will shout to the Lord. Do you know that? That's what the Lord wants us to do, to learn to shout back to Him. Shout back and tell Him. And don't be afraid. But in this verse here, in Zephaniah, when it says singing in triumph, He's talking about doing it with a proclamation. And, you know, He does it with a joyous proclamation. The word, Hebrew word I wrote down here, rana or rina. You probably know it. I can't pronounce it probably right. But anyway, he says, and the word that He's going to rejoice over us is suwas, S-U-W-S. Does that make a sense? In the Hebrew? No. Okay. There we go. Forget the Hebrew. It means to be bright is what I want to get across. It means to be bright, like this young person here, Rachel, and standing there, and the brightness of the Lord is upon him. And God wants us to be bright and cheerful and to be glad greatly. I don't know. That's a word that somebody else gave me. It's not my word. And to make mirth and to enjoy someone. When you want to rejoice over somebody, you want to enjoy that someone. And it's an amazing thing. And so I want to encourage you this morning to enjoy the Lord. When you come to the Lord Jesus, start to enjoy Him right away. And you'll soon find that nothing else will ever, ever take that place. Once you enter there, boom, you soon discover all the other frith and froth and foam on the beer and everything else. It's not nothing have a glorious presence of the Lord in your life. And that's the most important thing that I just wanted to leave with you this morning. A little word that, you know, if in all you're doing, make sure you get into the presence of God. When you're seeking the Lord and taking time with him, take time to get into his presence and sense his presence, because he will present himself and he'll let you know he's there and you'll feel it. You know, he doesn't say you're devoid of feelings. I'll make you feel me. And, you know, in some cases, when Jesus was honored by the Father, all of a sudden there's a big thundering. They said, oh, it's they thought. But the guys that were right beside Jesus said, oh, we heard that majestic voice saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And God wants to speak that to you, sons and daughters of God. He wants to be able to say to you, hey, son, Corey, Bob, and Rachel, you are mine. You are mine. And then you'll know the presence of the Lord, because that's what's going to really, really encourage you and strengthen you in this dark. And well, as Judas said, the days are getting darker, but praise the Lord, we still are in the light and life. Praise the Lord. Amen. So there you go. Be blessed. I can turn around without knocking the thing out of kilt. I'm all tangled up here. Whoa. Yeah, I got it. Okay, thanks, sir. That's what happens when you get a little older. Okay, bless you.
Hold on 1 sec. Yeah, Bob's on the front. Well, not the front row, second row. He says that Nelson's got to get a little bit more enthusiastic. Thanks, Nelson. Corey, come on. Make sure you can see yourself so they see you. Can you see yourself?
Yeah. Everybody see me there? Larry, why? How's it going? What a week. What a blessing week. Nonstop. Every day the Lord does so many beautiful things in my life, in all of our lives. I'm just so happy that I see that stuff. So anyways, this week a message came to me from the Lord, and I had said, do you want me to share that with somebody? And I kind of got back and forth in a conversation where I don't know if you want me to share that or not. And I said, well, if you want me to share it, just have somebody ask me share it. And I didn't think anything come of that. And 20 minutes later, I get an email saying, is there something on your heart to share? So I said, that's pretty clear for me to share it. So, I enjoyed the message myself, so I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. The message was actually fitting, to be honest with you, for those that know my two words for this year. I started this year with the word trust. And the Lord, that was the word on my heart for that was given to me by the Lord. And then in a couple months later, I also received another word, which was celebrate. And boy, did I enjoy that one. So this is what the Lord had told me, was that right now it seems that in my life and others probably, there are lots of questions, all kinds of questions every day. And the more problems that come, I find the more questions are coming about tomorrow. And I want to tell you that the Lord has answered all those questions. I know it sounds crazy, but he has given me the answer to give to all those questions. So here goes. When is this COVID going to end? Jesus. When are my kids going to come to church? Jesus. When is the disease going to leave? Jesus. When am I going to get healed? Jesus. When is the economy going to come back? Jesus. When is this virus going to stop? Jesus. When are the politicians going to work for Christians? Jesus. When are we going to have the right person in order? Jesus, 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 Jesus. That is the name to answering every single question that is asked. And I have found that when I start taking the question mark away and I start putting his name at the end of those answers, I stop asking so many questions. And then I start realizing that, wait a minute, I get to enjoy today because he's already solved tomorrow. And I start looking around and enjoying the wind, the breeze, the trees, his people, his children, every single thing that he has, I'm starting to enjoy. And I'm stop asking questions about tomorrow because I don't need to ask them because I know the answer. So when I ask the question and I say, Jesus, you are the answer to that question, I get that answer. And I tell you, that joy is just too much. So I really, really wanted to let you know that every time somebody asks any single question about anything, finish the question with Jesus. Jesus, Jesus will answer all your questions. And that's what he had told me to put on my heart. And I will repeat that every single time I ask any question. And if somebody asks me a question, that will be the answer I give, is Jesus. That is the answer, because he is the only answer to everything. So enjoy what we have today, because it is so wonderful that he's blessed me. Every day I wake up and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've given me today. I don't need to ask about tomorrow, but if I do, I will answer with your name. Thank you. That's all I had. God bless you.
Thanks, Corey. Wasn't that like a waterfall? And we need to be refreshed. It will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. He comes to and refreshes us with his word, with his presence. And I've had an interesting week, and I just want to share one last thought, and it has to do with prayer. And I always marvel at kind of like how things come across my plate over a week, you know, over a week, and how they sort of, you know, come together, or a theme begins to develop, you know. And I pay attention to that. And one of the themes that has been developing this week is the theme of prayer. And I'm just going to touch the very tiniest part of the peak of the iceberg. But this is happening everywhere. And so I want to talk about prayer initiatives. One of the prayer initiatives that we're involved with is the prayer that came from Lou Engle out of the United States, and how he prayed. And some of his prayers have to do with a call for revival. But listen to this. This is the way he words it. During the Azusa Street revival, the color line was washed away in the blood. This is so precious and so important in light of all that's going on in these days. During the Azusa Street revival, the color line was washed away in the blood, racism was broken, and God baptized them because they were one company. And that is an incredible story of Azusa Street and the coming together of black and white and Hispanics and every, you know, and Asians and everyone coming together. And under that banner of unity and the Holy Spirit came the unity, actually. The Holy Spirit brought this incredible unity. So there's been a call for a 40-day fast. So that's one of the initiatives, prayer and fasting for this revival, also for the end of abortion, the end of the taking of innocent lives. You know, they're praying fervently for that, and so they've asked us to join with that. A second prayer initiative is this, and this is I find this an interesting one. This came across my desk this week, and it's from Carter Conlon. And Carter Conlon was a police officer. In fact, Valerie remembers him coming to the Life Center to speak to the students when she was a helper at the Life Center many years ago. When I met her, actually, she was teaching at the Life Center Academy, and I'd throw that in there. And there you are. Okay. So Carter Conlon came to speak to them in uniform as a police officer. Well, Carter Conlon in subsequent years was called by David Wilkerson to come to New York City and to take over the pastorate, to become only the second pastor of Times Square Church in New York City. And so Carter Conlon has just stepped out of that position to take on a whole new initiative, which involves prayer. And this is one of the things that came across my desk this week. In 400 years, what have we done with our freedom? Now, this is the United States, but this is so important. This rung true in my own heart, too. In all the years we've had of freedom, what have we done with the freedom that God has given us? The Lord has called a prayer meeting. I'm serious. This is Carter Conlon speaking. He says, October 6, 2020, 7 to 9 p.m. from lot number 1, America, in Plymouth, Massachusetts, the site where the pilgrims who survived the winter of 1620 gathered to pray, and where the spiritual life of this nation began. And we've got some Americans sitting right with us here this morning, so there's nothing wrong with us identifying with our cousin next door, our brothers and sisters next door, and praying for their freedom as well during this time. Another great prayer initiative is another very interesting one. I think Marvin sent me this one, and it starts off like this. I would like to take this opportunity to invite you to join me and thousands of others for a global day of prayer on September 19th, 2020. I felt the burden to have a prayer meeting with saints of every country crying out to God from Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let he who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. And so that's another wonderful global prayer initiative. And the final one is one coming back right around home. Is a Canadian one that comes out of Watchmen for the Nations, but will also be will be global in four global gatherings that take place, the first of which will happen this coming Thursday, September 17th. At 8 a.m. in the morning, and we'll send out more about that. We may be watching it from here as well, but we'll be sending out more information about that. And then the final one, if I said that was the final one, this is the final one. many more prayer initiatives, including Ottawa's Western Gate Prayer Initiative. Ottawa's Western Gate Prayer Initiative, right here tomorrow night at 6 p.m., right here, rain or shine, right here, 6 p.m. Ephesians 6, and I want to conclude with this song just as we go into worship and this scripture. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 13, the winds are blowing here. but I just want you to know the tents are surviving here. They're just good quality tents. Look at them. Hey, my goodness. Because of this, you must wear all the armor. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Okay, this is the final scripture I want to read this morning or have read. Because of this, you must wear all the armor of God. All the armor he provides for you to protect you, to confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. But put on truth as a belt to strengthen you and stand in triumph. Put on holiness, the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert. Then you will always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect you. Your thoughts, to protect you and your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp sword of the Spirit, and the spoken word of God, which is a spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all believers. That's the New Passion Translation, so that's a little bit different wording. But let me just conclude with this verse. Verse 14, it says, stand your ground. Stand your ground. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and having done everything to stand. To stand your ground and having done everything to stand. We're rain or shine Christians, brothers and sisters, and we've come to worship the Lord. So we're going to conclude with this song and let us worship a little bit here, and then we'll say bye to our Zoom folks.